detailed summary by chapter of Dwaraka Leela. Chapter 52. At this point, Maharaj Parikshit asked a question, and Sri Shukadeva Goswami responded to it by beginning to narrate the history of the marriage of Lord Sri Krishna and Rukmini. Rukmini was the young daughter of the king of Vidarbha known as Bhishmaka, and she had heard of Sri Krishna's beauty, strength, and other fine qualities, and therefore made up her mind that only Krishna would be the perfect husband for her. Lord Krishna also wanted to marry Rukmini, but although Rukmini's other relatives approved of her marriage to Krishna, her brother Rukmini was envious of Krishna and thus forbade Rukmini to marry him. Rukmini instead wanted Rukmini to marry Shishupal. Unhappily, Rukmini took up her duties in preparation for the arranged marriage. But Rukmini also sent a trustworthy Brahmana to Krishna with a letter from her. When the Brahmana arrived in Dwaraka, Sri Krishna properly honored him with ritual worship and other tokens of reverence. Krishna then asked the Brahmana why he had come. The Brahmana opened Rukmini's letter and showed it to Lord Krishna, who then had the messenger read it to him. "Ever since I have heard about you, my Lord, I have become completely attracted to you. Without fail, please come before my marriage to Shishupal and take me away. In accordance with family customs, on the day before my marriage, I will visit the temple of Goddess Ambika. That would be the best opportunity for you to appear and easily kidnap me. If you do not show me this favor, I will give up my life by fasting and observing severe vows. Then perhaps in my next life, I will be able to obtain you." After reading Rukmini's letter to Lord Krishna, the Brahmana took leave so that he may carry out his daily religious duties. Chapter 53. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna arrived in Kundina, the capital of Vidarbha, and then kidnapped Rukmini in the presence of powerful enemies. After Lord Krishna had heard the Brahmin messenger recite Rukmini's letter, Krishna spoke to him, "I am indeed attracted to Rukmini, and I know of her brother Rukmi's opposition to my marrying her. Therefore, I must kidnap Rukmini after crushing all the low-class kings, just as one might generate fire from wood by friction." Since the solemnizing of vows between Rukmini and Shishupal was scheduled to occur in only 3 days, Lord Krishna had Dwaraka ready his chariot at once. Then Krishna immediately set out for the kingdom of Vidarbha, which he reached simply after one night of travel. King Bhishmaka, trapped by affection for his son Rukmi, was prepared to give his daughter to Shishupal. Bhishmaka saw to all the necessary preparations. He had the city decorated in various ways and its main roads and intersections thoroughly cleansed. Damaghosh, the king of Chedi, having also done everything necessary to prepare for his son's marriage, arrived in Vidarbha. King Bhishmaka greeted Damaghosh properly, giving him a place to stay. Many other kings, such as Jarasandha, Shalva, and Dantabhakra, also came to witness the occasion. These enemies of Krishna conspired to kidnap the bride if Krishna came. They planned to fight Krishna together and thus guarantee Shishupal his bride. Hearing of these plans, Lord Baladev gathered his entire army and quickly went to Kundinapur. On the night before the wedding, Rukmini, about to retire, still had not seen either the Brahmin or Krishna arrive. In anxiety, Rukmini cursed her bad fortune. But just then, Rukmini felt her left side twitching, which was a good omen. Indeed, the Brahmana shortly appeared and related to Rukmini what Krishna had said, including his firm promise to kidnap her. When King Bhishmaka heard that Krishna and Balaram had arrived, he went out to greet them with the accompaniment of triumphant music. King Bhishmaka worshipped the two lords with various gifts and then designated residences for them. Thus, King Bhishmaka showed due respect to Lords Krishna and Balaram, as he did to each of his numerous royal guests. Seeing Lord Krishna, the people of Vidarbha remarked to one another that Krishna alone would be a suitable husband for Rukmini. They prayed that on the strength of whatever pious credit they may have, that Krishna might win the hand of Rukmini. And when the time came for Srimati Rukmini Devi to visit the temple of Sri Ambika, Rukmini proceeded there surrounded by many guards. After bowing down to the deity of goddess Ambika, Rukmini prayed to be allowed to have Sri Krishna as her husband. Then Rukmini took the hand of a girlfriend and left the Ambika temple. Seeing her inexpressible beauty, the great heroes present dropped their weapons and fell to the ground unconscious. Rukmini walked with deliberate steps until she noticed Krishna. Then, as everyone looked on, Sri Krishna took Rukmini onto his chariot. Like a lion claiming its rightful share from a band of jackals, Krishna drove back all the opposing kings and slowly made his exit, followed by his associates. Jarasandha and the other kings, unable to bear defeat and dishonor, loudly condemned themselves, declaring that this defamation was like a petty animal stealing away what rightfully belongs to the lion. Chapter 54. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna defeated the opposing kings after kidnapping Rukmini, how Krishna disfigured Rukmini's brother Rukmi, and how Krishna brought Rukmini to his capital and then married her. As Sri Krishna was taking away Princess Rukmini, the inimical kings gathered their armies pursuing Krishna. But Lord Baladev and the generals of the Yadava army turned to face these opponents, blocking their advance. The enemy armies then began pouring incessant showers of arrows upon Lord Krishna's army. Seeing her husband-to-be's forces under such violent attack, Srimati Rukmini looked at Sri Krishna fearfully. But Krishna simply smiled and told Rukmini there was nothing to fear because his army would surely destroy the enemy in short order. Meanwhile, Lord Balaram and the other heroes began to annihilate the opposing army with their Naracha arrows. The enemy kings, headed by Jarasandha, retreated after suffering the destruction of their armies at the hands of the Yadavas. Jarasandha then consoled Shishupal. "My dear friend, happiness and distress are never permanent and are under the control of the Supreme Lord. Why, 17 times Krishna defeated me, but in the end, I was victorious over Krishna. So, I have now seen that victory and defeat are all under the control of destiny and time. I have learned not to succumb to either lamentation or joy. Now, time favors the Yadavas, so they have defeated you with only a small army. But in the future, time will favor you, and you will surely conquer them. Consoled in this way, Shishupal took his followers and returned to his kingdom. Rukmini's brother Rukmi, who hated Krishna, was infuriated by Krishna's kidnapping of his sister. So after vowing before all the kings present that he would not return to Kundina until Krishna had been destroyed and his sister rescued, Rukmi set out with his army to attack Krishna. Being ignorant of Lord Krishna's glories, Rukmi boldly went out to attack Krishna in a lone chariot. Rukmi approached Krishna, striking him with arrows and demanding that Krishna release his sister Rukmini. Sri Krishna fended off Rukmi's weapons, breaking them to pieces. Then Krishna raised his sword high and was about to kill Rukmi when Rukmini interceded, fervently pleading that her brother's life be spared. So Lord Krishna did not kill Rukmi, but with his sword, Krishna shaved off bits of Rukmi's hair here and there, leaving Rukmi disfigured. Just then, Lord Baladev appeared on the scene with the Yadava army. Seeing Rukmi disfigured, Baladev gently reproached his brother. To disfigure such a close family member is as good as killing him. Therefore, Rukmi should not be killed, but instead should be set free. Lord Baladev then told Rukmini that the sorry condition of her brother was only the fruit of his past work, since everyone is responsible for his or her own happiness and suffering. Baladev further instructed Rukmini about the transcendental position of the jiva soul and how the illusion of happiness and distress is simply a result of ignorance. Accepting Lord Balaram's instructions, Rukmini gave up her sorrow. Meanwhile, Rukmi now felt totally frustrated, deprived as he was of all his strength and even the will to fight. Since Rukmi had vowed not to return home without conquering Krishna, Rukmi constructed a city on that very spot and took up residence there in a mood of undiminished anger. Then Lord Krishna took Rukmini to his capital, Dwaraka, and married her. All the citizens celebrated in lavish style, broadcasting throughout the city accounts of how Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini. Everyone in Dwaraka was delighted to see Lord Krishna united with Rukmini. Chapter 55. This chapter tells how Pradyumna was born as the son of Lord Krishna and then kidnapped by the demon Shambhara. It also describes how Pradyumna killed Shambhara and returned home with a wife. Kamadev, or Cupid, being an expansion of Lord Vasudeva, was burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva, but was reborn as part and parcel of Pradyumna from the womb of Rukmini. A demon named Shambhara, thinking Pradyumna his enemy, kidnapped Pradyumna from the maternity room even before he was 10 days old. Shambhara threw Prajumna into the ocean and then returned to his kingdom. But a powerful fish swallowed Prajumna and was caught by fishermen in a net. They presented the huge fish to Shambhara, and when his cooks cut it open, they found a child within its belly. The cooks then gave the infant to the maidservant Mayavati, who was most astonished to see the infant. But just then, Narada Muni appeared and told Mayavati who the infant was. Mayavati was actually Rati Devi, the wife of Kamadev. While waiting for her husband to be reborn in a new body, Mayavati had taken employment as a cook in the household of demon Shambhara. Now that Mayavati understood who the infant was, Mayavati began to feel intense affection for Prajumna. After a very short time, the infant Prajumna grew to youthful maturity, entrancing all the women with his beauty. Once, Mayavati approached Prajumna and playfully moved her eyebrows in a conjugal mood. Addressing her as his mother, Prajumna commented that she was putting aside her proper maternal mood and behaving like a passionate girlfriend. It was then that Mayavati told Prajumna who they both were. Mayavati advised Prajumna to kill demon Shambhara, and to help Prajumna, Mayavati instructed him in the mystic mantras known as Mahamaya. Prajumna then went to Shambhara, and after angering him with various insults, challenged the demon to fight, upon which Shambhara angrily took up his club and marched outside. The demon tried various magic spells against Prajumna, but Prajumna fended all of them off with the Mahamaya mantras and then beheaded demon Shambhara with his sword. At that very moment, Mayavati appeared in the sky and took Prajumna away to Dwaraka. And when Prajumna and Mayavati entered the inner chambers of Lord Krishna's palace, the many beautiful ladies there thought that Prajumna was Krishna himself. So much did Prajumna's appearance and dress resemble that of Krishna. Out of shyness, the ladies ran here and there just to hide themselves. But after a little while, they noticed small differences in the appearance of Prajumna and Krishna. And so at once, they understood that Prajumna was not Lord Krishna, and so they gathered round him. When Rukmini Devi saw Prajumna, she felt overwhelmed with motherly love, and milk began to flow spontaneously from her breasts. Noting that Prajumna looked exactly like Krishna, Rukmini became eager to find out who Prajumna was. Rukmini also remembered how one of her sons had been abducted from the maternity room. If he were still alive, he would be the same age as this Prajumna standing before me. And while Rukmini reflected in this way, Lord Sri Krishna arrived in the company of Devaki and Vasudev. Although Krishna understood the situation perfectly well, he remained silent. Then Narada Muni arrived and explained everything. Everyone was indeed amazed to hear the account, and so they embraced Prajumna in great ecstasy. And because Prajumna's beauty so closely resembled Krishna's, the ladies who were in a maternal relationship with Prajumna could not help thinking of Prajumna as their conjugal lover. Prajumna was, after all, the exact reflection of Sri Krishna, and therefore it was natural for them to see Prajumna in that way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.